Welcome to our Parsha of the Week class, Parshat Ki Tetzeh. We're calling the class Chance and Circumstance. So let us talk about one of the weirdest, strangest mitzvot, one of the most unusual commandments in the whole Torah. And we're going to really mine, as they say, the commandment to understand why it should even exist and the application of the commandment, okay? So here is the commandment. It's called Shiluach HaKein, or Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird. So here is the English, and you can look and read in the Hebrew. If a bird's nest chances before you on the road, on any tree or on the ground, and it contains fledglings, little birds, or eggs, if the mother is sitting upon the fledglings or upon the eggs, you shall not take the mother upon the young. You shall send away the mother, and then you may take the young for yourself, in order that it should be good for you, and you should lengthen your days. Deuteronomy 21, 6 to 7 is from this week's Parsha. Very famous law. Okay, so let's talk about the law. The law, Shiluach HaKan, sending the mother bird away. It's a very strange rule. So first of all, why should this rule only apply to birds, to kosher bird species? There aren't that many that I know of that you would happen upon. I mean, I don't think you're going to happen upon too many turkeys and chickens. So we're probably talking about maybe some pheasants and other birds. Because remember, in the kosher world, there aren't any specific rules like there are with animals what defines a kosher bird. You know, with fowl, it just says these are the 20, 30 or so birds that are tameh, unclean to you. Meaning everything else is kosher. But it doesn't say, oh, if it's a predatory bird, boom, it's not kosher. Which happens to be true, by the way. But there are others. So by, let's say, fish, it gives you two very simple rules. Has to have two simanim. And has to have the scales and the fins. And of course, the rabbis say, there isn't a fish in the world in the absence of fins. If it just has scales, you know it has fins. It can't be one or the other. So again, any fish that doesn't fulfill that requirement, you can go to a store and say, oh, well, let me see the fish. And they'll show you the fish, and you see the scales attached to the fish, you know it's a kosher fish. And by land animals, again, we give very specific kosher symbols, simanim. It has to have split or cloven hooves, and it has to chew its cud, ruminate. So again, you already have those symbols. And it happens to list, there's a whole list of what would qualify. But there may be many other animals that are not on that list. And as long as, for example, in technical terms, a giraffe is kosher to eat. Because a giraffe fulfills the qualifications of a kosher animal. But we don't really know where exactly you would shecht the animal, where you would kill a giraffe. You have to be a really hellaciously fast shochet to catch one. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Somebody was calling me. So are you still on the screen share? Let me just make sure. Excuse me for 1 second. I think that might have killed off my screen share. There, we're back. There's the screen share. So again, let's get back to the bird. So why would there only be a mitzvah to send the mother bird away? Okay, so let's talk emotionally. It's a mother. You're taking her fledglings, her eggs. It will emotionally devastate her. Well, I don't know. I mean, do hens get emotionally devastated every morning when we take their eggs at the farm? Probably not. But maybe you could say, but in the wild, that would be different, right? Because, you know, I don't know how many times, maybe once a year, they lay their eggs, and it would be a heartbreaking situation if you were to take the pheasant's eggs away from her. So in order not to have heartbreak, in order to spare the poor mother bird, we shoo her away. So if she's lurking in the area, she's hovering over the nest, she sees what you're up to, it's an avera, it's a sin. It really is a sin. Because it says, lo tikach, right, ha'em al abanim, you can't take the eggs while the mother's there. So there's both a positive commandment, send her away multiple times if necessary according to the rules, and you can't take the eggs in her presence. But wait a minute. The brain of a bird. Don't we colloquially sometimes call somebody who's not the brightest and sharpest knife in the drawer a bird brain? So if the rule should apply on an emotional level, sensitivity to the mother bird, why would it not apply to, like, I don't know, mother cows? So maybe it should say, oh, if you're going to take the steer, before you take the steer to slaughter the steer, make sure that Bessie, mom, you know, Bessie the cow, she should not be present when you take her young. But there isn't such a rule. Now, there is a rule, oto beth beno, that you can't kill both the mother and the child on the same day. But it doesn't say anywhere you have to schlep the cow away, shoo Bessie away. Probably not so easy to shoot Bessie. She goes where she wants to go, right? But there's no rule like that. So you would think to yourself, if the mindset behind the rule should be sensitivity to the mother bird, why would this not be across the board? Wouldn't it apply equally to mammals, not just to fowl? Strange, right? So again, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. That can't be the reason. So it has to be one of those rules that is kind of like unknowable to us. Right? Because I've just illustrated that if it's based on svara, logic, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Right? Okay. So let's analyze the mitzvah. How does the mitzvah work? So in Israel today, there are tiulim. There are actual little trips that people take, hikes, up into the mountains, into areas where birds are known to frequent. And the possibility there is that you will get to do this mitzvah. Because if the nest is known to you prior to your happening upon the nest, mitzvah doesn't apply. So in other words, if you have a nest of pheasants in your backyard and you happen to be, you know, Jeff Bezos, you have a very big backyard, and you know, if I walk 100 yards there and 100 yards there, there's a nest of pheasants, this mitzvah doesn't apply. Because listen to the rule. If it chances before you, meaning it can't be known to you according to the Gemara. The Talmud says you can't have prior knowledge. Okay, that's number one. So to me it's a little silly to have a group of people who love this mitzvah, this commandment so much, and they want long life and a good life. I mean, who wouldn't, right? And they specifically go out on hikes hoping to chance upon a nest of birds and send the mother bird away. I mean, to me, it's kind of undermining the nature of why the mitzvah applies. So why does the mitzvah apply? If it's not out of a sensitivity and a love for moms, again, maybe it is a little bit, but clearly it can't be the a priori reason that this mitzvah, this commandment exists, just to be sensitive to mom. Meaning a byproduct is, yes, we have to be sensitive to mom. Of course, we should learn from this, to be sensitive to the feelings, even of a bird. For sure, however much more so, should we be sensitive to mammals and to the ultimate creation of God, human beings. So it is there to be learned from. I'm not, you know, saying, heaven forbid, that that's not part of the equation. I'm sure it's part of God's equation. But as we pointed out, there's a little bit of a faulty logic there. If you only extend it to birds and not other animals, why not? So then, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? I don't know. What is the purpose of the mitzvah? So let's examine the mitzvah. So if I know that the nest of birds exists, right away, the mitzvah, the commandment doesn't apply. It only applies when I happen upon, coincidentally, ah, there's a nest of birds. Ah, they're kosher species. Oh, I'm a little hungry. I could have lunch. Oh, but I have to send the mother bird away. So I go shoo her away a bunch of times. I get the eggs. Oh my gosh, I just did this commandment, one of the 613 commandments, and I'm probably the only Jew in all of Jerusalem that ever did this commandment. I have actually never met anyone in my whole life who ever correctly did this mitzvah. You've never done it. I've never done it. I don't think anyone I know will ever do it correctly, because it's literally by chance, right? So that's why I'm a little bit fuzzy about those going out to look for the opportunity. I appreciate that the significance of the reward is such that, boy, it would be great to send the mother bird away and get the credit. But if I'm doing it with sort of deliberately, doesn't that kind of undermine the nature? Because the Torah expressly says it can't be mizuman. It can't be prepared for you. It can't be known to you. It has to be God's divine will. And it's illustrated in a very beautiful way. Okay? Let's say a person is up hiking in the hills of Judea. And they think to themselves, you know, I am like away from civilization. There's no poor people to help. There's no opportunities to do anything meaningful. Wow. And all of a sudden God says, well, wait a minute. Since you are so desirous of a love for me and to do something significant in this world, I'm going to place before you this unique opportunity to send the mother bird away because you are obviously in love with doing good things. I'll make it happen. I'll ordain for you that you'll chance upon the rule, the mitzvah to do, right? So it's a very beautiful concept that when we think we are bereft of opportunities, God says, I'll design one for you. But you can't design one for you, right? And it has to be God designing it for you. So it's a very powerful concept. Right? Think about it for a moment. We, because we're humans, and the scope of our knowledge base is limited, we see everything as sort of like, well, there it is. How did it get there? I don't know, but it's there. God all along preordained certain events in our lives that are just going to happen. There's going to be a knock on the door. I had a knock yesterday from somebody, some poor gentleman, a religious guy. I guess he asked, you know, where the religious Jews are. He knocks at my door, you know. I have ill health. I said, wow, thank you so much. I thanked him. I said, thank you so much for coming and giving me an opportunity to help you. So I helped him. So again, I did not wake up yesterday morning thinking I would have such a mitzvah opportunity. He presented himself to me, and I should be grateful for him that I have a privilege of helping this Jew in need, right? So that's kind of the mindset in my approach to this mitzvah, that in other words, we see the human aspect of the nest of birds. It just materializes. God says, no, silly boy. I threw it your way because, you know what, you love doing commandments, and I wanted to make sure you had something to do. It's a very beautiful concept, correct? And you get long life and a good life. There is only one other mitzvah, commandment, in the entirety of our Torah, anywhere, that says if you do this commandment, you will have a good life and a long life. You know what it is? Honoring your father and your mother. And that's source number two, which I don't even have to say inside. I think I know this one. It says, honor your father and your mother. And it says it'll be good for you and your days will be long. Only two commandments in the whole Torah. Honor your father and mother. Long life, good life. Send the mother bird away before you take her young. Good life, long life. Why would God equate and conflate, if you will, these two commandments? Let me ask you, unless your name is Adam or Eve, you have a mom and a dad. Well, I shouldn't say that because today, who knows? But, because in the laboratory with science, you know, who knows where we're going to get, right? But at this point in time, I think it's safe to say that unless you're Adam or Chava, Adam or Eve, you have someone to honor. Now, you may not like this person, but remember, the mitzvah, the commandment of honoring your mom and dad, has zero to do with love. Remember, Esau did not really love Isaac. But boy, did he honor him. Because there was a necessary karatatov. He had to recognize that he was owing him. And Esau would dress up with regal garments to honor his dad, Isaac. No love, but honor, correct? So everyone has an opportunity at some point, and even after they die, when you say Kaddish on the Yahrzeit, or you learn for them, or you give charity in their name, you're honoring mom and dad. So in life and in death, this is like the most all-encompassing and the most prevalent commandment possible, right? Could it be any more dissimilar to sending the mother bird away? I mean, think about it. How many people in this room have honored their mother and father? You all put up your hands. How many people have correctly sent the mother bird away? Not only do you not, no one does, right? So what could be more dissimilar? And yet God is saying, no. Same reward. Good life, long life. So why would he conflate the two? Because obviously honoring your mother and father is tremendously significant and applicable in every case, correct? This other one, the bird, not so much. Why the same reward? So on one hand, you could make an argument. Ready for a great argument? You shouldn't try to look at the reward. Don't apply human sensibility. Just because you think it's an important mitzvah in the eyes of God, don't diminish something that to you may not be as important, because maybe in the eyes of God, it's big. you and I don't know the reward till we get to heaven, right? And you'll check your big bank account in heaven and see how many rewards you have there. We don't know at the end of the day what's going to be significant in God's eyes and not. I mean, we can guess, right? We know if it made the Ten Commandments, number 5, honor your father and mother, pretty good chance if it made number 5 in the Ten Commandments that it's big stuff. But who would have ever predicted that sending the mother bird away would somehow have equal status, at least reward-wise, with honoring your mother or father? Like, what's going on, right? But what if this? What if I could present with you right now an approach that is going to show you, in my mind, the significance, the chashivut, of this weird mitzvah that we thought is such a bizarre thing, honoring your mother and father, equated it with, you know, sending the mother bird. Why should the mother bird be such a great thing? I'm going to share with you right now. You know how I know this? Because in the same Torah reading, the same parsha this week, which has this beautiful mitzvah, the commandment, sending the mother bird away, you live a long and a good life. It has the diabolical, worst person who ever lived in the history of our world, the nation of Amalek. They rear their ugly heads at the end of our same parsha. But you know what really is confounding? The same word, literally, used to describe how you happen upon a nest of birds. And remember we pointed out by law, it has to be happenstance. This is the word that is used in our same parsha at the end to describe the diabolical Amalek happening upon the Jews as we exited Egypt during the Exodus. Look at number 3. You shall remember what Amalek did you on the way when you went out of Egypt. How he chanced upon you. Sorry, I'm for those at home. There, I have it now up on the screen. How he chanced upon you on the way. Oh my gosh. The word for chance is mikra. So it says by the mother bird, ki kare, when you will happen upon a nest of birds. And then by Amalek, who we hate, that's Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, it says, asher korcha baderach, that same word, happened upon you. And the rabbis explain that Amalek, you know why he's so horrible? Because he believes in the lottery and everything, chance in life. There is no destiny. God does not mill around and mish around in our business like that. And everything that happens is a roll of the dice. That's why the holiday is called Purim. It's all lottery. It's all chance. Stuff happens. Can't say the word stuff, but you know the stuff. Okay. Things happen. That's Amalek. So can you imagine? God designs a parsha with this beautiful concept. When you happen upon a mother bird, send her away. And he uses the word, a loaded word, which he's going to use just several chapters later in the same parsha to describe not only Amalek and his attack, but the mindset of why Amalek attacked, to prove to us that things that happen, Jewish people, it's not that God is warm and fuzzy. He could care less. It's a shirkarpa. It's cold. It's not meaningful. Wow. So what if this, I'm throwing this out, the reason that there is a special mitzvah that is to honor your mother and father, long life and good life, along with sending the mother bird away, a long life and a good life, why are they equated? Because maybe the mother bird gives us an insight into our world, into the nature of our world. In other words, Haman doesn't believe in this. So he throws out lots of energy to destroy the Jews. Because he believes in happenstance. So if I throw out enough bad things for the Jews, maybe I'll win, right? He doesn't win. But God is saying, no. Everything that God does is by design. As a human being, we are limited in what we can take in, what we can see at any moment. So we'll always see everything that happens as chance. Because we're humans. That knock on the door yesterday in my home, to me it's Kerry. It's just chance. I didn't know that guy would be there. I didn't know I'd be home. I didn't know, right? It was all out of the blue. I didn't design it. I didn't wake up yesterday morning thinking, oh my gosh, I'll have a charity at Tzedakah opportunity. But God knew this. God designed it for me. He threw an opportunity my way. In the same way he throws an opportunity to that hiker that he could send a mother bird away and get long life and good life. So maybe it's a prism through which to see all of our world, meaning everything that happens appears to us as humans, chance, happenstance, stuff happens. But what if when these things happen, they're only happening not only by design, but when there are opportunities to do a kindness, a chesed, a mitzvah, a commandment, a good deed, they're not only not just chance, they appear to us as chance, but they're actually more important in a way. They're more of a test of who you really are than the things you wake up knowing you're going to do. In other words, when I wake up in the morning, okay, I got to daven. It's a given. I daven every day. I pray every day. I didn't know I'd have a chance to send a mother bird away today. How could I? In fact, if I knew about it, it wouldn't even apply, right? I didn't know that Anani, a poor person's guard, or someone in need was going to knock on my door. It happens to everyone every single day. Things just happen from out of the blue. But that's the point. There's no agenda. When I woke up yesterday, or when you're hiking out and you happened upon the nest of birds, you didn't have a prior agenda that you were looking for a bonus points. I want to accumulate and accrue as many brownie points in heaven as I can. You can't. If that's your mindset, there's no mitzvah, there's no chesed, there's no kindness, right? So what if the reason God chooses this word, this loaded Amalek-style word, when you happen upon that bird's nest, is to teach us the very essence of our world. Everything in our world is by design of God, yes. But it's also equally unknowable. So then where do I fit in? How do you respond to those things that you don't expect? How are you going to respond to the knock on the door when you're getting ready for Shabbat or for a wedding and you're under crisis management because you've got to get out the door and you're already 7 minutes late and you're like trying to manage things and there's someone at the door, please can you help me out? How do you behave in that moment? You didn't see that coming, did you? No. How do you respond? How do you respond to the nest of birds? How do you respond to the poor person in need? Whenever it is, you didn't know. It wasn't an agenda anymore. Maybe that is so precious to God, you see? Because unlike honoring your father and mother, which is not only applicable to everybody, but every single person wakes up every single day with the possibility of honoring mom and dad, whether they're alive or not. So it's like the most prevalent commandment you can think of in the world. Good life and a long life. But it's hard to do it, right? Because it's all the time. What about the one-off one? Person could say, well, come on, really, wait a minute. I pray three times a day, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. You're going to judge me because I failed to do one thing you threw my way? Yeah. Because you see, everything else, you expected it to happen and you had an agenda a little bit, you know? But that one you didn't. So I'm throwing it your way. So maybe the uniqueness of this mother bird and the way the Torah sort of conflates the two with the chance of a Amalek, the chance of a lifetime, but Amalek sees it as God's not around. What if it's the opposite? Is that God loves us so much and wants us to make the best of ourselves that he's throwing us these unique moments that don't belong to anyone else. In other words, when you're hiking, there's no one else in the world who could send that mother bird away but you. When someone knocks on your door, this is for you and you alone. It was for me, no one else. And either I'm going to rise or I'm going to fall. That it was for me. So that is the magic, I think, of this week's Parsha, is that as we approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the days of judgment, when we look for ways to sort of recreate ourselves in positive ways. I can't think of a greater way than every day. If something comes up, you know, carpe diem, seize the moment, seize the day, seize the opportunity, never let that opportunity go by. Never the saddest words are, I should have, I could have, oh, if only. Let's not go there. If there's an opportunity, a unique opportunity, just to smile at somebody and change someone's day, please take that. I'm speaking to myself and to you also. Okay, we should merit sending the mother bird away, not in a literal way, but in that metaphor, the best. I wish everyone well.